All right, welcome to the Football Podcast. I was going to say a new podcast for the new season, but it's not new now. We're on show number 5. Alongside me are QPR fan Stuart Hoare.
Afternoon.
Gillingham fan Jim Staples.
G'day.
And Everton fan Simon Pitney.
G'day, mate.
I'm Simon Head. I'm also a Gillingham fan. And we're going to kick off this week with a question, as usual. Start off with Stu. Your best away day. Tell us about your best away day, Stu. You must have had at least one, surely, following QPR.
A few away days. The one that sort of sticks out in the memory would be an away day last season at Cardiff. Myself and Jim went up there with Stephen Greck. We drove. After leaving Jim's flat, it was just me and Stephen Greck actually in the car, and we were travelling up there, and Jim was in the boot. We were hiding it from Steve. When we got to the National History Museum, just outside it, Jim was calling and texting me to get him out because he was getting serious cramps.
Well, we want to understand. I was hiding in the boot just for the banter, and then Stuart was going to try and get him to slag me off while I was in the boot. So he was going, what about Jim? Couldn't make it, blah, blah. It didn't really slag me off. But the understanding was when I got tired or when my legs started hurting, I text Stuart, which was fine. And after about half an hour of going for London, I was like, yeah, be a good joke now, I'll text him. So I text him saying, yeah, get out now, mate.
Unfortunately, I was in embankment, so there was no way I could stop him.
About 10 minutes later, he still hadn't done it, so I was phoning him. I was like, he wasn't picking up. I was leaving voicemails going, Stuart, get me out of the boot now, it's hurting.
I'd loved if you got done for like some sort of traffic violation.
We could still get done.
What's in the back of your car? Let me look in your boots. Oh, no.
So in the end, he stopped outside National Union. I jumped out of the boot and a load of Chinese people just started clapping me.
Like, yeah. It was actually Steve Greck we got to let you out, wasn't it? I saw Steve, can you just grab a bottle of water from the boot? And yes. Then Jim, you should have seen his stupid little face.
He wasn't
happy. Oh, nearly followed through. So that was a good start to the trip anyway.
Was game any good?
Finished 2-0. Jay Simpson scored. It was all pretty much done and dusted by sort of the 40th minute.
All right.
Jay Simpson brace. And then during the game, Jim was making all sorts of chants in reference to Swansea. Yeah. And literally, because Steve, you could see Stephen Greck from where we were sitting in the away end.
We could see his stupid little face.
Oh, and it was just chants.
His massive head.
Jim kept picking on it. There were chants aimed at Stephen Greck throughout the game. And obviously, once the away fans were catching on, they were chanting it at him as well. Just the whole day of picking on him.
But just 90 minutes of hell for Stephen Greck.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
And the whole game was a bit of a blur, wasn't it? Because it was the day after the night before. And yeah. That night ended with Stephen Greck storming off. And Stephen Greck's in his hometown, so he's wandered off. Me and Jim actually caught him up because he had got lost.
And in his hometown?
Yeah, he was on a roundabout, nice just work. Wandering around a flower arrangement. And me and Jim found him, and he was just in all sorts of mess. He'd stormed off thinking he'd beat us back to the hotel. He didn't, he'd got lost, and we had to guide him and then home in his hometown.
The one song that got to Steve the most, and to all the Cardiff fans, was that QPR fans were taking the piss out of how many empty seats were at the ground.
Yeah.
And I started singing Ground Share with Swansea, you should have Ground Share with Swansea. And they weren't happy.
Didn't go down very well?
No, went down well with the QPR fans, I was around. And I got to see an away win as well, which for me was a bloody
it's a rarity for us fans. Yeah, we'll have to get Greg back on the show. He was on the first show as our podcast predictor, so we'll have to get him on again. Jim, tell us about your best away day. Can't have been from the last year.
Well, it wasn't involving Gillingham it's been some decent
standard,
ones
yeah.
Yours, but it was I've gone, you asked for our best or funniest. I've gone for best was obviously Cape Town for the World Cup,
yeah,
because it was amazing. Funniest was either watching England either in Moscow or Vienna.
Okay.
Just because Moscow was a hellhole. It was absolutely horrible. No one go to Moscow. It's a shithole.
Armed guard was it to the stadium?
Oh, this podcast is sponsored by the Russian Tourist Board.
Yeah. No, it was horrible for the moment we got there. Basically, we left it to one of my mates to book the accommodation, and he booked something out of like the film hostel.
Oh no!
It was absolutely atrocious. We couldn't find it. It was snowing. We didn't eat anywhere other than KFC for about a week. And everyone wanted to stab us, and they've got really crap coats. It's the only way you can tell a Russian person in Moscow, because they've got no, like, their coats are just crap, like non-branded crap coats.
Okay.
Serious question, nothing to do with football. Does Russian KFC taste different than English KFC?
No, they've got.
Has anything lost in translation with the 11 mystery ingredients?
No, they've got gravy and they serve alcohol as well.
Really?
So basically, KFC.
Alcohol and KFC. You wouldn't need to go anywhere else.
Well, we didn't go anywhere else because we were scared. The first night we tried to get a vodka somewhere, we couldn't get a vodka in Moscow.
That's amazing.
Which probably says more about us than it does anything else.
It probably does. So yeah. That was your best one, the most memorable one.
Probably. Funniest was Moscow. Vienna was quite good as well. It was just me and one other mate.
Okay.
And we did a coach, first time ever I've done a coach trip with England.
Yeah.
So they sort of bus you in. They bust us in about midday. It was quite a nice day in Vienna.
Yeah.
We went, just me and my mate Steve, Went on a massive vodka binge. Yeah. We had a vodka in each bar we were in Vienna, which is quite pricey. Vienna's quite pricey anyway.
Yeah.
And when we came out for the game, there was about 8 foot of snow on the ground, which we hadn't really noticed happening. It was really good. And Vienna in the snow is good fun. But yeah. Steve Cumber broke my camera as well.
Camera work in Cardiff, didn't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, it does kind of work now, Steve, but you still do owe me a camera, mate. So, yeah, send it over.
Cool. Mr. Pitney.
Okay,
does yours involve a crocodile on a French beach at all? Did you see that story?
No.
Did you not? Did no one else see that? They thought there was a man eating crocodile
yes,
on a French
I did
beach.
Hear this.
It's just a bit of driftwood.
No.
Stupid idiots.
My favourite is when I went to see Osiep for the first time. I'm walking up to the ground. A toothless man walked up to you, and I thought he was part of the group with Thomas Lab and all his friends.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm yapping to him in limited English that he had, and he's giving me a drink. He's got drink. So I've gone, well, I don't want to be rude, so I've taken a massive glug.
Did your teeth fall out straight away?
Oh my God, it was the strongest thing I've ever drunk in my life. Like plum vodka or something. He went, first time I make it. I was like, oh Jesus Christ. It was horrible.
Oh, no.
It was horrible. But my
Simon in that packet is that night.
But my actual answer was I went to university in New York, which is full of posh people, and posh people are very funny anyway. I think they're hilarious. And one day a mate of mine came into my room and he went, Plymouth are playing New York today, should we go and watch? And I thought this is
this person
brilliant.
Posh was
yeah he
posh
was posh but Plymouth are playing New York today, shall we go and see?
Yes.
So I've gone, this is going to be brilliant. So I think, yes, absolutely, but we have to be in the away end, so i.e. with the Argyle fans.
Yeah.
And on the way to the ground, I was trying to explain to him the unique nature of Argyle fans, you know, how they talk, you know, you've all seen the Aviva ads, that's kind of accurate. Right, buddy, are you heard? How are you doing? And literally within a second of the ball being kicked off, someone was in his ear, and I'm in a pub, so I'm trying not to draw attention to us, but within a second, all he heard shouted in him was, come on, which, and honestly, the amount of shock that was on his face.
Sounds like the toothless person.
Yeah, yeah. Christ, the same person. And to make matters worse, it was pissing down with rain, and it was a 0-0 draw.
So, and this is your best away game?
No, that's my kind of fondest memory, because it was so crap. It was so Plymouth Argyle.
You should follow Gillingham away from home. It'd be like watching Real Madrid.
What did Posh make of it?
Oh, he was terrified. A, of the Argyle screaming man, and also I think he realised he'd wasted a day watching Argyle 0-0 with York.
Yeah,
it was a miserable game.
Could have been out flying Daddy's helicopter.
Yeah,
or
a tiger moth or something.
Yeah, could have been.
My favourite away game might have been one that you were at, Jim. It was one of the most bonkers matches I've ever seen. We were at the National Hockey Stadium in Milton Keynes to watch Gillingham against, I think they were Wimbledon still then.
Yeah, was that when the Streaker?
The Streaker.
Yeah.
We were 1-0 down. We were 1-0 down. And we needed to win this game to stay up. Otherwise, if we'd have lost then, we'd have been down. And 1-0 down, time running out, on comes a Streaker. And none of the stewards would go on. The opposition players were just pissing themselves laughing. Our lot were getting irate. Alan Poulton was very close to chinning her at one point, I think. He wasn't happy. In the end, Andy Hessenthaler...
Was it a female Streaker, yeah?
It was a female Streaker with enormous lungs.
She had
right?
good lungs.
Yeah,
excellent.
And in the end, Hessenthaler basically grabbed her, sprinted over to the away end and threw her straight into the away end. Play restarted. We went straight up the other end. Hessenthaler scored. Bedlam. And then in the last minute, Pat Agumang, who subsequently went to your lots, do nodded
well.
One in at the back post, ended up in the crowd about 6 feet from where I was.
He's
stood.
Still running.
On the transfer and it was a mental day. There were people passing out in the away end because they wouldn't let any of the away fans have any kind of drink. It was a stinking hot day. We'd spent most of the day in the pub beforehand. It was just a really, really, really mad day. And I just thoroughly enjoy it. I mean, it was such a good game. And we stayed up that year. We didn't the year after. But, you know, that game was really what kept us up. So, really good away day, that one. Okay, we'll move on to what's happened this week. And it's been a pretty bonkers week, but goals going in left, right and centre, but not in the games that we went to.
It's the second time you've used the word bonkers.
I know.
Bonkers.
Yeah. Simon sponsored
what
by Dizzy
saying
Rascal.
Bonkers.
Simon, don't ever do that again.
What, nod my head or sing the song?
Either.
Do a Dizzy Rascal.
Either.
Bonkers.
Yeah. So, Jills, we'll do this really quickly because I don't want to talk about this. Gillingham 0, Lincoln 1. Jim.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Rubbish. That's the only thing I can say about that. The big man hit the inside of the post
was,
in the last minute, Aki Fenwa. But that was the only piece of quality we did.
It's
in
a typical
game.
Example, and whoever you support listening to this knows that when a player comes back, particularly a player. We had a player called Albert Jarrett who was crap. When he came back, he had an absolute worldie on Saturday. He was like Zinedine Zidane on crack. He was absolutely brilliant, popping through balls, 360 turns.
His shot led to the goal.
He's shit. He's absolute shit.
He's absolute pony. But somehow against our lot, he looked like Pele on Saturday. He really did. He had the game of his career. He might as well retire after that, because he's never going to play that well again. And he's never going to play a team that's going to let him play that well again. So we lost 1-0. I think we should probably move on from that. Sire, Everton 1, Wolves 1.
It's just beginning to annoy me that we've started the season slowly again. I mean, it's Wolves. We should be winning. We should be taking 3 points. By all accounts, we played very well. Mm-hmm. But if we're starting with Jermaine Beckford up front in a Premier League game, what chance do you really have?
What's this Jermaine Beckford bashing all about? Well, that is bonkers.
No, it's bonkers.
No,
I do like that.
I think he's a good player. He's had one start in an Everton shirt. And you're dismissing him already.
No, I'm not dismissing him.
No wonder David Moore.
Let's go
and buy an under-17 French player and get
him. You're leveling criticism with the wrong team. Julian Lescott, lower leagues. Tim Cahill, lower leagues. Phil Jagielka, lower leagues. So it's something we do. We give him a chance.
Well, give him a chance.
But I don't think Beckford should be starting as our centre forward. So I think you levelled at the wrong team there, mate.
Well, you're not knocking on the door so far, are you?
No, because we started slowly. But it's all good.
Okay, so disappointed with 1-1 draw.
Yeah, to be honest, and I think it's about time we started winning, which I'm sure we will, and I'm not that stressed out about it, but 1-1
right.
Draw.
So you're disappointed with the start.
Yeah.
Me and Jim are disappointed with the start we've had. One man at the table is looking rather smug right now, top of the league, 100% record.
Disappointed with the start. More goals. One more goals.
You must be disappointed because Warnock's done nothing that's sackable yet.
Potentially, a lot of fans are pissed off because Warnock isn't sackable yet.
They keep winning, they must be really pissing the fans off.
Yeah, no, great start, 2-0 win at home to Scunthorpe. Bradley Orr, who according to Warnock actually can't head a ball, and he scored with a header at the weekend, so it's a good start. And finished off 2-0 with a goal from Heider Helveson, birthday boy, on Saturday.
Alright, so it's been quite a dull start to the season for most of us at least, but Saturday.
It's been a dull start to the season.
Saturday was nuts. Saturday was 100.
Was it bonkers?
I was going to say bonkers, but I stopped myself, to be honest. 144 goals scored in England at the weekend.
That is bonkers.
Newcastle 6, Villa 0. Arsenal 6, Blackpool 0.
That's funny, isn't it? 6-0.
Yeah. Wigan 0, Chelsea 6. Crew 7, Barnet 0. Rotherham 6, Cheltenham 4. Cheltenham were 3-1 up in that game and lost 6-4. Fort William lost 8-0. To Inverurie Locos.
Both pub teams, and
Redditch United lost 9-0 to Boston. So it's been, I don't know what was in the water this weekend. Goals going in absolutely everywhere, except for
some would say it's bonkers.
Some might say bonkers.
Can we just stop saying bonkers now?
Yeah. Right. Okay. We'll move on. This is our final batch, which is probably just as well because I'm getting bored with this. Players that Premier League teams should sign. Jim, you go first, mate. Who should Spurs be signing?
Raphael van der Vaart.
He's going to be available very soon,
yeah,
from what I understand.
Your German fella's just got the one that looks a bit like a weasel. What's his name?
Sami Khedira. Oh, no, Ozil.
There's enough of them. The fact that he's the Germany guy that looks like a weasel, and everyone's like, oh, which one? Hang on, there's a list. He's gone to be Mourinho at Madrid, so I reckon van der Vaart's available. So maybe Spurs can afford him, get him in.
Well, they have to ditch some of their foreign players. They've got too many at the moment.
Yeah.
They do have to ditch some, yeah.
Okay. So someone should be getting them, though.
He's
a
prime candidate to go, so it'd be interesting. Sorry?
I actually think Spurs got quite a nice squad. I just don't like either of their fullbacks. I hate Esu Okoto. I just can't stand his little face. So, bearing in mind they're in the Champions League, I think he's going to get someone with a little bit of experience. Mm-hmm. So Fabio Grosso. I know he's 33, but he's been a bit of a journeyman for the last couple of years, so he hasn't put down roots anywhere. Probably pick him up quite cheap.
Yep. Good shout, Stu.
Huntler. I think they need definitely need a striker. I mean, they had one fit striker at the weekend, didn't they?
Definitely need a striker. They've got Spurs. They've got four.
They had one fit at the weekend.
Well, they're
Crouch.
Doesn't mean they're not
Crouch fit at the weekend.
Doesn't mean they're never going to play a game, does it?
I think they signed Huntler.
Okay.
In the story.
All right. I'd go. I think they need a better goalkeeper.
He's doing his best
to
try and get rid of a bloody striker.
Yeah. I think they need a goalkeeper. I don't.
A goalkeeper. They've got Gomez.
I don't rate Manuel Neuer. Get the German international goal. He's at Schalke. He's come through the youth system at Schalke. He's ripe for being signed by a bigger club. Whether Tottenham are a bigger club than Schalke is debatable, but I think if they could basically fork out the money for him, he'd be a good signing for
him. He's got massive thighs, that boy, isn't he? He's got a big old kick on him.
Neuer.
Yeah. Yeah. Gomez, from a standing start, can jump his own height.
Yeah, but he can't catch, which is a bit of a problem for a goalkeeper.
No, he doesn't have to catch. And he can catch. He's good.
I don't think he's any good. All right, Stu. West Brom.
Jason Roberts. He's definitely available from Blackpool. And I think they need
Blackburn,
a striker.
Some Blackburn.
Yeah, right. Blackburn. Yeah.
Look how happy we were that he got the name of the team wrong.
Blackburn. He's available for about $1 million, I think. So, yeah. Jason Roberts to West Brom.
Okay, sorry.
I actually had Jason Roberts as well. But I've also, as a backup, maybe Kevin Phillips.
Okay.
Someone who's they both got West Brom experience, they've both got Premiership experience,
yeah.
And goals are going to be the problem. They play some nice football, but they need goals.
Cool.
So you'd prefer to have Kevin Phillips starting up front for a Premier League team than Jermaine Beckford?
Yes. Definitely.
Different kind of team, though, isn't it?
Different kind of player. As well.
Beckford would be a better, would actually be a good sort of player for someone like West Brom.
I like the fact we all completely mocked Andy Carroll as well at the start of the season, and he's now got a hat trick, and he's
looking for an England experience. Dan's not here to gloat.
But he, yeah.
Ferdinand.
Andy who?
I'd go for a Championship striker. I'd go for a striker as well. Championship striker who works hard, scores
goals.
Not
Mickey Maynard.
No. He's injured at the moment.
Oh.
Steve Morrison. Steve Morrison of Millwall. He's moved up the levels, he's playing international football for Wales now. Worth a punt, wouldn't cost an enormous amount of money. Might do a job for him.
Good shout.
Jim.
Yeah, West Brom. Kanu. He's 26. Oh. Get him back in the Premier League. I'm just going to tell you something about Kanu.
Okay, here we go.
This is how Kanu's CV reads. Okay, this is what he's won.
Oh, he's won everything.
Nigerian Premier League, the Dutch League, the UEFA Super Cup, the Intercontinental Cup, the Champions League, the UEFA Cup, African Footballer of the Year, BBC African Footballer of the Year, the Premier League, the FA Cup, the Community Shield, the Under-17 World Cup, and Olympic Gold Medal. That's with age of 19 as well, by the way. So, get him back at West Brom. That miss he did was bloody brilliant. So, remember that miss from like 2 yards out?
Yeah. Well, that was worse than the Cubans.
But then again,
if
you was in the dressing room after and someone came up to you, like Robson, whoever's manager, Kano, what are you doing? How'd you miss that, you idiot? Excuse me, I've won the Nigerian Premier League, the Dutch Premier League.
If they play a game of show us your medals, he's not going to lose to many
like
people.
Like a mayor, he should just wear them all round his
like big, Mr. T.
Like B.A. Brackett.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, brilliant.
We need him back in the Premier League.
He's a bit of a cult hero as well.
We need young, up-and-coming characters like Kanu in the Premier League.
West Ham, sigh.
My notes actually say, where do you start? They just need a centre-back, someone who can actually stop goals going in. So Papa Diakate, he was on loan at Saint Etienne last season, but he's actually registered with Dinamo Kiev, I think. And Arsenal looked at him, he's a big old strapping lad. So why not get him? Upson's rubbish.
Yep. Stoop. Hammers.
I think Lescott, they do need a centre-back. I think Lescott will fit the bill.
What's that? How are they going to afford it?
That'd be alright.
Jim.
Tunchai.
Pulis
will sell him. He won't cost much. He'll probably go to West Ham. If Stoke can afford his wages, you don't. West Ham can as well. Probably 30-35k, something like that.
Yep.
And I think he'd go quite well with Carlton Cole.
I think he would.
You don't know how long Carlton Cole's going to be there.
I reckon not trying to sign Cole.
Yeah, maybe
that could
maybe
be something in it.
But I'd like that's a link up. In terms of a transfer deal, I'd like the link up between Carlton Cole up front with Tunchai. I think that'll work. Yeah.
He's
with
a good player. Stoke's not quite worked for him, has he?
Stoke hasn't worked, and he didn't really do that much in Middlesbrough. But at the end of the day, he's done it in Europe. He's done it playing for Turkey as well. I really like him as a player.
Really? I'd go for Bellamy. He's
Cardiff captain now as well.
How does that work?
You're such a toss team when you have to have a lone player as your captain.
Bellamy, good player, did really well at West Ham last time. And he said when he joined Cardiff that the only other time where he really felt like he was part of something was when he was at West Ham. Get back there. What's he wasting his time in a Championship for? Get back into the Premier League. I know he's probably there because City wouldn't sell him to a Premier League team. I think Spurs wanted him. But Bellamy at West Ham, I think, would be a good
West Ham are only Premier League team for a little bit.
If they don't sign someone like Bellamy, then they could well be out. Right, moving on to Wigan, I'll go first. It's on Jay Bothroyd. I'd nick him from Cardiff. Decent front man, scores goals, nice, big and strong, got some pace about him. And he's played at top level once or twice before. Get him in. I think he'd be a good signing.
They got their fingers burnt by. They signed Scotland from the Championship.
Yeah.
He hasn't done anything for him, so I don't think he'll go for Boothroyd, to be honest.
He probably
Plus,
wouldn't.
Boothroyd's not a Premier League player.
He'd do okay.
Nah, he's had a chance in the Premier League before. He's a good Championship player. He's one of those. I reckon he's one of those crossovers.
Yo yo guy.
Good Championship.
Yeah.
Do nothing at Premier League.
So?
Okay. We're going to be terrible. and they don't have it. They played really well against Chelsea.
We're going to be terrible. Yeah. That's understatement of the season, though.
Well, they actually started quite well against Chelsea, but as soon as the first goal went in, the heads went down, they couldn't be bothered to think. So they need a bit of, since Palacios, when they don't have anyone who's energetic and will put tackles in, all the rest of it.
Yeah.
Now, Wigan seems to be very well at buying South Americans young, then selling them better. So I found one. He plays for Paraguay, and he's been playing for the team called Libertad. And he's 25, so it's time for a move. He's called Victor Caceres. Go get him. Sign him cheap, sell him on.
He's
a holding midfielder. He's a bit of a hard man, apparently. Get him in.
So,
right, the last time this kid was fit, Bullard was at Wigan, so I reckon get him back and he might once again get fit.
You think
there's something
like,
in the water that keeps Bullard like fit in Wigan?
Just heal him instantly when he crosses the border. Okay, Jim.
I got mentioned earlier, Jason Roberts.
Yeah,
take him back to Wigan. He'll score goals, and they need some goals.
I rate Jason Robert. I mean, he's not top draw Premier League, but he'll do a job, won't he?
He's canny enough. He knows what's going
works
on.
Works hard.
They should sign Jason Roberts, re-sign Nathan Ellington, and play him up front.
Right, there's one more club left. Wolverhampton Wanderers. Off you go, Jim. Go first. Let's round this up nice and quick.
Matthew Taylor. Not getting a game at Bolton because they signed Petrov.
Yeah,
good Premier League player.
Classy left foot on him as well. Scores from ridiculous distance.
Rio Coco, he needs a new club.
Oh, he's crap.
He's been bombed out of Villa.
He's not bombed out of Villa. He played on Sunday.
Did he really?
Yeah.
And they lost how many?
That contributes to the 6-0 then, I guess.
And he's bloody awful.
Yeah.
I think he's better
than
the
only thing he's got is his name fits nicely with the
Nigel Rio Coco.
Bonkers. That's the only thing he's got going for him, to be honest.
Wolves need a chant then.
Good syllables.
Wolves need a chant. Nigel Rio Coco.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Wolves need a chant.
Yeah, they've got a chant in Nigel Rio.
I was going to say Jimmy Bullard, but you've said him for Wigan. So I think they've a versatile player, so Mark Wilson from Portsmouth.
Okay, that's not bad.
Who they've had a bid rejected for today.
Did they?
Yep.
How much?
I don't know. What am I, some sort of agent?
Right, I'd go for Jonathan Woodgate. Spurs have got more centre-halves than they know what to do with. Gallas has just pitched up. Woodgate's not going to play, so he'll be out. Then I think he'd fit in quite nicely at Wolves, assuming he can stay fit. So that's the Premier League done. Now it's over to Mr. Hoare for Stu's News. Stu?
I'll be honest, I'm struggling this week for a story to top the sausages.
In week two?
Yeah. So any funny stories or funny quotes even, please get to us at banter@footballpodcast.co.uk.
Is that you just saying basically I can't do it, so can someone else help me?
Definitely.
He needs help.
And
he needs
help.
It's been going for a while, son.
Yeah.
This week I've gone for state the obvious. I've got some quotes from footballers that are stupidly obvious, to be honest. Ian Rush: I couldn't settle in Italy, it was like living in a foreign country.
Yes,
there's a problem with that, you are in a foreign country. Steve Lomas: Germany are a very difficult team to play, they had 11 internationals out there today. I hope so. It's Germany.
That's quite good.
Mark Viduka: I would not be bothered if we lost every game as long as we won the league. Almost an impossibility.
He's Australian, we'll let him on.
Yeah.
Mark Draper. The league's upside down to him anyway.
Mark Draper,
where have you got that from?
I'd like to play for an Italian club like Barcelona.
Mark Draper.
Yeah.
Vinnie Jones: winning doesn't matter as long as you win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Stan Collymore. This is a good one.
Oh,
I faxed the transfer request to the club at the beginning of the week, but let me state that I don't want to leave Leicester. So he's faxed him a transfer request, but he's not interested in leaving.
Fantastic. So yeah, help Stu out for next week, someone, please. It's banter@footballpodcast.co.uk. Right, we'll take a look at our second teams now. I'll kick ours off because Gillingham have not had a good start to the season. My second team have been even worse. Peterhead.
Is that what you've chosen?
Yeah, it's kind of like a continuity thing. I actually thought Peterhead would do really well this season. It seems like I might be wrong based on the start. Continued this weekend, this bad start, as the blue team went down 2-1 away at East Fife. Actually went 1-0 up. Martin Babbage put Peterhead in front just for half time, but then they let in two goals in the last 15 minutes. So we sort of snatched defeat from the jaws of victory a little bit there.
How did the new boy play?
I don't know. I haven't actually seen a match report yet. So
okay.
All I heard was that it wasn't great again. So three games played, no points. Not good. We've got Ayr United away next week, so it's another tough game. So pressure's beginning to mount now. We need to win some games up there. Stu, De Graafschap, how do they get on, mate?
They've continued to bomb out in the Dutch league. Another 2-1 loss away to Groningen. Wydell Popen, within 3 minutes, had a chance to put 1-0 up. They went 1-on-1 with the goalkeeper and just proceeded to shank it right at him. And following on from that, nothing really to note until the 15 minute when Jean-Paul Sages went through the back of a Groningen striker, destined to score, resulting in a penalty and a sending off for Mr. Jean-Paul. Groningen converted the following penalty and effectively finished off the game in a 32nd minute when Envoldsen finished off from close range. De Gracia did get a consolation goal when Rydell finished with a nice tidy pass into the back of the net. Next up though is Willem, who have yet to win this season, so potentially a win there.
Okay, cool. Jim,
Hastings United got off to a 2-0 start.
Is that the first league game?
First league game. They're notoriously slow starters. The first time they've won an opening game since 2004.
Good stuff.
And Wiltshire are supposed to be quite good this season as well, so it's one of the possible promotion contenders. Kenny Poe, the bloke who got 7 goals in 8 games, started on the bench.
Really?
Exactly. 7 goals.
Was he not fit or something?
No, apparently he was fit. They still, well, I don't know that. We'd have to speak to the man himself. But yeah. Started on the bench. They started Olerunda up front. And he came off the bench and scored the second goal. So
oh,
all
fantastic.
Good. And Sean Ray got the first goal with a header.
Captain
header.
Fantastic.
Captain Fantastic. On 60 minutes. 65th minute, Michael Phillips, the ex-Jill, put our man through Pogue. And he put one rifle one into the top of the net, off the bar. 2-0. Good start. Good attendance as well. It was 563 people there. They're playing Tuesday night next, which is Maidstone United away. So we have a vested interest in that because we hate Maidstone.
Yes, we do.
So hopefully we'll get a win there. And the only other thing, we've got my usual feature, You Are Ya.
Oh, here we go.
Clark Masters played his first game in Gold.
Sounds like an American sort of detective.
He sounds good. 23 years old. Played his first game for Hastings, born in Hastings. So coming back to his hometown club. Started as a junior with Brighton, turned pro with Brentford. And actually played against Gillingham for Brentford and got sent off for denying an obvious goal scoring opportunity.
I remember that was Neil Harris.
Although it was late, so I don't know why it was a goal scoring opportunity because Neil Harris wouldn't have scored. It was late successfully appealed because I think Brentford must have just gone, look, it was Neil Harris and he wasn't going to score. So there you go. Yeah, as I said, he was born in Hastings as well. He was at Hayes and Yedin last season, so he's gone back to his hometown club. So hopefully, maybe more clean sheets to come for him. But a good
Fantastic.
Start, good attendance, clean sheet, 2-0 on the board,
and a forthcoming visit from the Pubcast team as
well. Yes, we're going to be down there pretty soon. We'll have more news on that next week, hopefully.
Excellent, Si.
Well, it's been a traumatic week for us, yeah, hasn't it?
There's been a lot going on.
The club president resigned, the sports director resigned as well, and the manager was sacked, and there was a players' revolt, which I mentioned last week.
Yeah.
However, new manager come in, bit of an Osijek legend, Branko Karadžić.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a legend, isn't he?
He is. Yeah. And if you look him up on Wikipedia, do you know what they say about him? Opponents feared his deadly free kicks, and that's pretty much it. That's all they say about him. Anyway, so he's a deadly free kick taker.
Wait, someone's won the fruity.
Good lad.
Pint of lager, please, mate.
They
packet of scampi fries.
They played Istra, who were bottom of the league, and they've got their first win of the season. They won 2-1.
Fantastic.
Winning goal in the 89th minute, which is all great.
Always have an 89th minute win.
And we have the video of that goal. It's from about 25 yards, and it's an absolute screamer. So you'll get that on the website later today.
You remember last week I said that 5 clubs are going down in the Osijek League, which means they're now 11th in the table, which means they're out of the relegation zone.
Yes.
It's all good. And next week they play Hrvatski Dragul Voljak, who are 14th and have only scored 3 goals all season, let in 12. So hopefully the Osijek centre forwards can actually start scoring themselves.
Fantastic stuff. So that's good news then.
Before we go, can I just ask something as well? Joey Barton's moustache.
Yeah.
Fan or not a fan?
Yeah.
Tash. You seen his tash?
Yeah, I saw it. But
fan or not a fan? Because Joey Barton is an idiot.
Yeah.
I could use stronger words.
Tool,
but so what are your thoughts on it? Because I looked at it and thought, idiot. Obviously not the football fan's favourite in any way, shape or form. What are your thoughts on the tash? Good thing, bad thing?
Obviously he's
good
doing
banter,
it
good banter bad tash
stupid because I think if you're going to beard I would have been on board with it straight away, you know that.
Good facial hair though, I think any facial hair is good facial
any
hair.
Facial hair is good, but
it's got to be one of the best facial hair moments this season so far.
It's leading the
two
list
two games
of
in
like one
yeah,
so
three
far
games in. I bet there'll be more.
Yeah.
Should we have a face off just the season? Someone... who's got the best facial hair of the year?
Yeah, I reckon.
Shall we?
So that's approaching a Hitler tash, and
it
I
is,
think
yeah.
someone could go further and do the Hitler
and
tash.
And if it had been really really rainy and he'd been windswept all the time and he'd just stuck his arm up when he scored.
He did do that.
Oh, okay.
He did actually do that. So
what, the Hitler salute?
He was referring to the fact that he was gonna have his moustache shaved off because they won. Because the idea is he had the moustache until Newcastle won their first game. So it's now he shaved it off in the dressing room.
Let's hope no West Ham players are doing that.
Yeah. There's gonna be big old beard.
Like Robinson Crusoe.
He did this when he scored. As if to say, look, Natasha's coming off. And all the papers are like, Hitler salute, that's really bad. So because it's Joey Barton, they've jumped all over him, but it wasn't. Right, okay, it's predictions time again. We've not got so many games to talk about with Dan not being here, so we'll just quickly run through the games that our teams are involved in, and then we'll have our featured match of the week. So the first match, Stu, Derby versus QPR, how's that going to go?
I think we'll continue in a winning fashion.
You think you'll beat them?
We haven't conceded yet. I think we could concede at the weekend. I'm going to go 2-1 QPR.
Okay, cool. Aston Villa versus Everton, Si. How's Everton going to do?
Everton are going to win. Caretaker managers very rarely work, and I don't think Villa are going to perform to their potential until they get their manager's situation sorted out.
Cool.
I don't think Everton are due a win.
Score?
1-0 Everton.
Okay. Jim, this is probably a redundant question. Morecambe at home against Gillingham. So how are Gillingham going to get on in that one?
2-0 Morecambe.
Yeah, 2-0 Morecambe. Morecambe were quite decent last year. They had a good run towards the end of the season, didn't they? So they're going to be quite a dangerous team. Right, we'll move on to our featured match of the week. Now, we've gone a little bit off-piste a little bit this week. We're going over to Spain for the first weekend of La Liga. It's live on Sky Sports 1 and HD1, Sunday at 8 o'clock. We've got Real Mallorca versus Real Madrid. Now, our guest predictor this week is Kay Murray from Real Madrid TV. And here's what she had to say about the weekend's game.
Hello, my name's Kay Murray. I work for Real Madrid Television, the club's official channel out here in sunny Spain. And I am this week's guest predictor. With La Liga kicking off at the weekend, this week's featured game then is, of course, Mallorca versus Real Madrid. Jose Mourinho's first game in charge of one of the biggest football clubs in the world. So let's bring you up to date with what we can expect from both teams going into this fixture. We'll start with the host, Mallorca, who've been caught up in drama and controversy before the season's even begun. After a stunning campaign last year, the Islanders finished fifth, so they should have been playing in the Europa League this season, but the club didn't meet the criteria to earn a licence to do so. And that's because they're in a lot of trouble financially and are laden with debt. Because of this, they've lost their star players, those that helped them make the Onu Estadi a fortress last season and saw them finish as high up the table as they did. But looking on the brighter side of things, Mallorca's coach this season is Michael Laudrup. I mean, they're probably wishing that they could play him, but hopefully the Den will bring them some good luck this year. The Onu Estadi is a hard stadium to take points from, and over the years Real Madrid have often struggled there, though that said, they went there at the back end of last season and took them apart. That game finished 4-1. Cristiano Ronaldo scored his first hat-trick in white with three absolute belters. He even said it was his most complete performance of his career. And Gonzalo Higuain also chipped in with 1-2. So a good precedent for Real Madrid, who of course go into this fixture with all eyes on them. This will be the first chance to see the Madrid of Mourinho in his first competitive game as the new manager. And it's a chance for him to see all that planning and preparation that he's put in over the last few weeks into action. The squad are on a high and this positivity can hopefully be projected on the pitch, but there's a bit of a problem at the back as three of the centre-backs are injured. Raul Albiol, Pepe and Ezequiel Garay are all out, so it's likely that Ramos will move into the centre to partner Ricardo Carvalho. So it's a depleted defence, the first game of the season, and it means Real Madrid may find it difficult to keep a clean sheet, but I think their confidence will definitely see them putting some away at the other end, just like we've seen them do throughout the pre-season. So my prediction for the game is 3-1 to Mourinho's men, and if I get it right, I'll celebrate by sharing a shark bucket with Stuart.
Right, okay, that was Kay. She's gone 3-1 to Real Madrid then, Stu, and you've got a lot riding on this.
After hearing that, I'm going with Kay on this one.
Yeah.
3-1.
It's the only charge you've got of going with Kay.
I look forward to the shot. She owes me a shark bucket when it's 3-1.
If it's 3-1, there's a shark bucket in the offing, so you're going 3-1.
Yeah.
Jim.
3-1.
and no word of a lie, I spoke to Jim earlier.
I'd written that
He
before.
Wrote that down earlier. And
Before I heard Kay's comments, I said 3-1.
Yeah, I've gone 2-1 to Real Madrid. Sorry?
2-0 to Real Madrid.
2-0.
Get your money on Mallorca.
So based on that, yeah, I mean, most of us predicted that Aston Villa would win last week, except you. That didn't go too well. So right, we'll round off with class and arse. This week it's Stu's turn.
Stuart again. What's this? The Stuart podcast. He took his own feature, Stu News, and now he's doing this.
We're
part
all
of the
having
show.
A go at this. It's going to rotate.
But when does Stu News get rotated?
Jim, don't be jealous. You'll get your time.
No, it's
time.
Pathetic.
Come on, we love you just the same.
Look at his face.
We love you equally.
He's top of the league with QPR, and he's got two features on the show.
Just can't help it.
He's kind of a big deal, though, isn't he?
He's kind of a big deal. Kind of a big football ramble in no time.
Kind of a big deal. Transfer request.
Sub me in. Ask this week, Wigan squad as a whole. They got bang left, right, and centre. Okay. Two weekends in a row now. And as a whole, the town's a little bit crap, isn't it? Wigan is a rugby town.
It is a rugby town.
They don't deserve a Premier League football team.
They've got there on the back of money.
Just Wigan on a whole. The arse. Arse this weekend is Wigan Town.
Okay,
Stu's got the arse with Wigan.
Stu's got the arse
with Wigan Town.
Yeah, and I think Wigan are now going to have the arse with
him. He's getting so big. He just talked about himself in the third person.
Stu's got the arse with Wigan.
Then we go first. Yeah. Class this week slightly.
If he says QPR, I'm walking out.
Bye bye then, Jim.
Is that what you were actually going to say?
Great. It's the first time.
See you back at the office, mate.
Jim's gone. For the first time in 61 years. QPR have won their first three games of the season. That's class. 61 years of utter dross. The first three games, we've won the first three.
Okay.
The first time in 61 years.
You know, if you'd asked Dan Ferdinand, he would have said Andy Carroll.
He does deserve a mention because we all laughed in Dan's face when Dan kind of said it as a joke himself. But he said, "Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Andy Carroll went and hit a hat trick. He went and hit a hat trick." So Dan's going to be choosing our lottery numbers for us this weekend. As you might have noticed by now, Dan actually didn't make it for the recording today. He's got some time off. Okay, we'll finish off the show now. You can contact us, as mentioned earlier, at banter@footballpodcast.co.uk. We really would love to hear from you. Any funny stories, good quotes, anything that you want Stu to read out on the show, just send it through to banter@footballpodcast.co.uk. We're on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/thefootballpodcast. We're on Twitter at twitter.com/footballpodcast. And if you want to get the show, you can stream it live from the website, which is www.footballpodcast.co.uk, or you can subscribe via iTunes. We were as high as number 8 in the iTunes charts last week, which is just flipping nuts.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely nuts. Thank you to everyone for listening. I can't believe so many of you are. So thanks for sticking with us. Hopefully you enjoyed the show this week, and we'll be back next week.